Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and I mean, what else is there to say? We're going to be talking about Tesla stock today. Tesla finished the day up 8% to $816.04. So that was a $60 gain just today. Previously, before split, that'd be a $300 gain. That was the share price of Tesla, the entire share price of Tesla, in Q4 of 2019. That was 15 months ago, and all of a sudden, Tesla today has now passed Facebook to become the fifth most valuable company in the world. And today, according to Bloomberg's wealth tracker, Elon Musk has become the wealthiest person in the world today, passing Jeff Bezos. So we are going to talk a little bit more about that, Elon's reaction to the news, and how his compensation plan at Tesla is impacting this. But I do want to continue to discuss the stock price here for a couple more minutes. I think there are three factors today that are overly influential. Again, any individual day, there's going to be thousands of different things impacting the stock price. One of those factors, which we touched on a little bit yesterday, would be, I think, a continuation of assets being shifted into companies that are seen to potentially benefit from the Democratic control in Congress and the executive branch, and some of the impacts that a Green New Deal or something of the sort might have. So if you look at solar stocks over the last couple of days, they've been performing really well. I think that's probably also impacting Tesla to some extent. Another big factor today is that overnight we saw an analyst upgrade from RBC Capital Markets. They have increased their price target on Tesla all the way from $339 to $700 per share and upgraded the stock from an underperform to a sector perform rating. They titled their note, New Year, Fresh Look, Moving to Sector Perform, and they say that, quote, there is no graceful way to put this other than to say we got Tesla's stock completely wrong, parentheses, even if our fundamental view to date wasn't too far off, end quote. I would say that sort of tone of voice summarizes the rest of the note. They're sort of saying that, you know, we got Tesla right, but the market is assigning the super high valuation to it. So we're going to go ahead and in our future forecasts, assign a higher valuation multiple because Tesla at this high market cap now has the ability to raise capital and easily fund their growth. They reiterate this later in the note asking, what did we get wrong and what is our new view? Saying, quote, obviously our valuation methodology was incorrect, though we continue to believe Tesla valuation is more art than science, and we believe some technical factors may have juiced the stock appreciation, but really what we missed, and this is tied to valuation, is how Tesla can take advantage of the capital markets and its stock price to raise capital inexpensively and help further fund future capacity outlays and growth, end quote. So to some extent, this is a valid point. Tesla's higher market cap does have this sort of self-fulfilling aspect to it, where it allows them to raise capital more cheaply, de-risks the company. Those are both great things. That can lead to a higher stock price, but to say that that is the main reason that you got Tesla wrong, well, I hate to say it, RBC, but you're still not getting it. This new $700 price target is based on a 2025 delivery forecast of 1.7 million vehicles. If that's your forecast, I think what you're not getting about Tesla has nothing to do with the stock price and everything to do with where Tesla is heading. They even have an upside scenario in here, and in the upside scenario, they're forecasting deliveries of 2.1 million vehicles in 2025. And again, Tesla is really targeting 4 million plus vehicles by then. RBC's upside scenario is about half of Tesla's actual target. Despite that, their upside scenario price target is $1,148 per share. And because people always ask when I talk about price targets, generally price targets are a fair expectation for the price 12 months from now, based on discounting back what they expect the price to be at some point in the future, in this case, 2025. Anyway, I think RBC, very conservative forecast there, but a rating upgrade from underperform to sector perform and a significant price target increase probably had a bit of impact on the stock today. And then I think the other major factor, probably the biggest factor and the least talked about factor, is that Tesla has now had 10 trading days in a row positive, which actually ties Tesla's longest streak ever set back in April. I don't think that's very coincidental given that there were only two down days after the S&P 500 inclusion, and ever since then, we have been positive. I think what's happening is we're seeing those benchmarked funds now accumulating Tesla stock, or rather more accurately, continuing to accumulate the stock. Tesla's weight in the S&P 500 index right now should be somewhere around 1.9%, and as we've talked about many times, at the end of last year, there were $6.6 trillion in assets benchmarked against the S&P 500. If all of those benchmark funds also wanted Tesla to be equal weight, therefore not impacting their variance to their benchmark, cumulatively, they would need to own about 156 million shares of Tesla, or about $128 billion worth of the stock. Now, ownership positions on Tesla are going to trickle out through quarterly filings. We're not going to be able to see all of that right away. A lot of that accumulation may have already happened, but from the reports that we had going into the S&P 500 inclusion, it didn't seem like a lot of those benchmark funds had Tesla positions yet. The other thing worth mentioning is that $6.6 trillion in assets under management, that was from the end of 2019. That's probably closer to $8 trillion now, which if that were the case, that would mean more like $155 billion in Tesla stock needed, or about 189 million shares. If you tuned into the S&P 500 live stream that I did on the day of inclusion, you may have caught this comment, but probably many of you missed this. I did say at that time that I had spoken with a sell-side analyst, and he said that he had been speaking with fund managers who, in his words, manage more money than God, and he had just gotten off a call with one of those fund managers, this was the day before inclusion, and he said that, quote, he can 100% sanction the idea that institutional investors are tied in knots about this inclusion, and they are losing sleep, end quote. So interestingly here, as Tesla goes up, and this is a little bit different than the tracking fund scenario, as Tesla's share price goes up, the weight that they need to own it at to be equal weight continues to increase, and the share count they need to acquire doesn't change, but the cost of acquiring that share count does, obviously. So the longer and longer they put off buying Tesla, the better and better Tesla continues to do and continues to drive up the performance of the S&P 500, their benchmark, the worse the situation gets for them. And I'd have to imagine that for some percentage of these fund managers, at a certain point, it gets to where they just throw their hands up and they say, all right, just buy Tesla at equal weight, and then we can forget about it forever. So we don't have any way of knowing how much of an impact that's making, but 10 positive days, trading days here in a row, I'd be very surprised if those benchmarked funds haven't been one of the driving forces. So we'll see tomorrow if this run continues and if Tesla can set a record 11 trading days in a row being positive. We're off to a good start in after hours. Tesla is up about 2% above $830 per share. Like I said at the beginning, with this run in Tesla stock, Bloomberg and other places that track wealth are now reporting that Elon Musk has passed Jeff Bezos to become the wealthiest person in the world. They estimate Musk's worth to now be about $195 billion, about $9.5 billion more than Jeff Bezos. Musk reacted to the reports in a pair of tweets today, first saying, how strange, and then, well, back to work, dot, dot, dot. So I think this has been a long time coming for those of you that are familiar with Elon Musk's 2018 CEO performance compensation plan from Tesla. If you're curious how that plan is structured, I did do a deep dive episode on that. I'll put a link here and in the show notes. It was done before the Tesla stock split, so if you do watch that video, just account for that mentally. But the gist of it is that the compensation plan is divided into 12 tranches for each series of milestones that Tesla hits. A new tranche is unlocked that allows Elon Musk to purchase a set number of shares for a very low price. Pre-split, each tranche was about 1.7 million shares. Post-split, about 8.5 million shares per tranche. So for each of those that is achieved, previously Musk could buy those shares for $350 per share pre-split. Now post-split, it ends up being $70 per share. So to actually unlock all of those, one of the components is Tesla having a market cap on a sustained basis of $650 billion. That would mean a share price of somewhere around $670, basically putting the minimum value of that plan, if fully achieved, somewhere around $60 billion. And that's on top of Musk's other stake in the company, about 20%. So pretty easy to look at that and say, okay, if Tesla achieves this plan, well, Musk is probably going to be the wealthiest person in the world, especially when you add in SpaceX. And every dollar that Tesla goes above that $650 billion market cap, well, that just increases that net worth even more. So I'm going into a little bit of detail here to essentially say that Musk for a while now has probably already been the wealthiest person in the world, because even though Tesla has only recognized three of those milestones of those 12 tranches as being achieved, it looks extremely likely to me now that probably within the next 2 years, all 12 tranches will be achieved. And I'm assuming Bloomberg is only counting for the ones that have already been achieved thus far, those first three. So if we add in 9 more tranches there, well, that's another 76 million shares that Musk can buy. And that would add another $55 to $60 billion at today's share price, which would put Musk right around $250 billion, or a quarter trillion in net worth. Musk also reportedly owns about 54% of SpaceX, which today sits somewhere around a $50 billion valuation, but there have been rumors that have been denied by Elon that they have looked for fundraising at, you know, a $92 billion valuation. And as Starlink progresses and likely eventually IPOs, if not the entirety of SpaceX, or who knows, maybe we see some sort of X holding company, I think Musk's ownership in SpaceX is poised to increase pretty dramatically as well. And then of course, he has large stakes, presumably majority, in both The Boring Company and Neuralink. Putting all of that together, there's very little doubt in my mind that Elon Musk will be the world's first trillionaire. Very relevant to this conversation is the tweet that Elon Musk currently has pinned to his Twitter profile, which says, quote, about half my money is intended to help problems on Earth and half to help establish a self-sustaining city on Mars to ensure continuation of life of all species in case Earth gets hit by a meteor like the dinosaurs or World War III happens and we destroy ourselves, end quote. I think Musk likely hates all this attention about being the richest person in the world or the wealthiest person in the world. He's going to put those assets to work, and it's also not like they're just sitting there in cash doing nothing. And to convert it to cash would be a huge hit, both from a tax perspective and from a value perspective. If Elon Musk all of a sudden, you know, comes out and says, hey, I'm going to sell my 20% stake in Tesla, where do you think the share price is going to go? I think we can start the bidding at somewhere around down 50%. Then you pay all those taxes. Even if Elon does live in Texas, there are still going to be significant taxes on that sort of a sale. And just like that, that $200 billion net worth turns into, you know, maybe $75 billion. Still an ungodly amount of money, but a very quick path to not being the wealthiest person in the world. This is a big reason why I think eventually Elon Musk will probably want to create a holding company. It'll allow him to leverage those assets in probably the most efficient manner to pursue the mission that he wants to pursue. All right, I think that covers the net worth conversation. So just a couple of other things that I wanted to share for today. I recently had the opportunity to be a guest on the Smart Passive Income podcast with Pat Flynn. He's a podcaster I've got a lot of respect for. I actually listened to him before I even started the podcast, oddly enough. So a little bit surreal for me, but we got to talk a lot about some of the things that go on behind the scenes of Tesla Daily, the origination of the podcast, things I don't really talk about here day to day. So if you're interested in that, check it out. I'll put the link for that in the show notes. And then I also had the awesome opportunity to speak with Gene Munster of Loop Ventures on Loop TV. We did an episode on Tesla's full self-driving, and there will be a couple more to come. So definitely check those out, and I would echo the same thing there. Really awesome opportunity. I've looked up to Gene for a long time, back to my early days of being an investor in Apple. So it was great to talk to him. And then the last thing for today, there have been recently a lot of spam comments in the YouTube comment section from accounts that have been impersonating me. So look very closely. There should either be a check mark or some sort of other distinction to show when it is my account versus an imposter account. But if you ever get a weird message that doesn't seem like it would be from me, it's probably not from me. I'm never going to tell you to contact me on WhatsApp. I'm never going to tell you about this awesome broker that I have that's making me so much money. Obviously, I manage my own investments. So if you see replies to your comments on something like that, just report it. Let me know on Twitter and I will get those removed. But that is it for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. On Twitter, you can find me at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you tomorrow for the January 8th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you. That's 2 days in a row. I got it right. Yes.